The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. They saw, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and told them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Morning.
Pentecost is a fundamental celebration of our liturgical year, just like Christmas and Easter. And it should have an air of festiveness about it. In other words, the red that a number of you people wore is a sign of that festiveness. Maybe if you won't make it at Nebraska, that's for sure, but if we were down there for a football game, everybody would be in red. Or maybe at Iowa, it would be gold here and white there, whatever. But there also could be singing and dancing like we have. When baptized, we were brought into the mystery of Jesus' life and into the mission of the church that he started. And when we were confirmed, we were to take on full responsibility for all that baptism means in our life. Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, baptism and the Holy Spirit, confirmation and the Holy Spirit go hand in hand with each other. So the church today asks us to evaluate just how we are doing with that share of the mission that we were given. And then also to evaluate in our lives how we are using those tools or those gifts that only the Holy Spirit can give us. It is evident that early in the life of the church, special charisms or signs of the Holy Spirit were the impetus to the start of the mission of the church. From the gospel, we understand that while the apostles received the Holy Spirit and a mandate to forgive sins in the first meeting with Jesus on that first resurrection day, it wasn't until 50 days later, as described in our first reading, that the power of the Holy Spirit was seen in public manifestations. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. So those tongues of fire that came over the apostles, they actually were the point where they were stirred to those gathered apostles and put them into action, enabled them to move out into that public square. Led by Peter, they began to speak to the Jews who assembled there in their foreign tongues that they had been accustomed to, and they heard about the kingdom of God. This impressed and amazed the Jewish people that were assembled on that festive occasion. They not only heard the message about forgiveness of sins, but now they too could begin their Catholic mission to build the kingdom of God upon returning to their homeland. The second reading shows us that the Holy Spirit continued to shower gifts upon the infant church as it now then moved out to the Gentiles. This was necessary to prove to the pagans that the Christian religion was from the real God. The pagans had their local gods to whom supernatural powers were falsely attributed. The God of the Christians, he's the one who had the real gifts, and they were distributed freely by the Holy Spirit when the occasions demanded. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, is emphasizing that these gifts are not given to each individual for their honor and glory, but to help build up the kingdom of God. One of the first tests of genuine gift of the Holy Spirit, or being able to teach, is from that we are in conformity with the Catholic faith. If a man claimed that he was moved by the Holy Spirit to blaspheme Jesus, he was evidently a liar and a fraud. On the other hand, he who sincerely professed that Christ was God and lived the law in their life was seen to be have moved by the Holy Spirit. Faith is one of those great gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, but it has to be in conformity with the church. All the gifts given to the early Christian converts were from the same Holy Spirit. Each of them had a special purpose. The gifts to help administer the affairs of the early Christian communities were truly needed because they were starting from scratch and nothing was there. Each person might also receive a gift for another task in the church. Gifts that help you maybe to tend to the sick, a gift to help the poor, a gift to call assemblies together, bring people together, and explain the faith, or maybe a gift to heal the sick. All are different gifts and ministries, but Paul tells us they all came from the same God. In the gospel today, it makes it very clear that while we all have a stake and a task in this mission, one of the greatest gifts is the ability to forgive sin. The gospel shows that the gift comes to us only through the foundation of the apostles and that it is extended to us through the priesthood. Jesus came and stood in their midst that day. Peace be with you, he said. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive men's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain men's sin, they are retained. It was at that moment that the great gift of the mission of the church was authorized to be taught, offered, and extended. To receive the Holy Spirit, that in itself is a great gift. Only under his guidance will we each be able to evaluate our perspective on what it means to be Catholic. So I ask, have we lost sight of the mission? Are we a people that is cowering in the corners of our homes? Or are we afraid to go out and answer the issues of the day? Have we downplayed the manifestations of the charisms that do come to us from the Holy Spirit in the public square? Or are you proud to be Catholic? Do you fully utilize the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life? To allow or to even want the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life, you must put yourself in a position where they can happen. To be in sync with the teachings of the church, or to increase your level of participation, we must integrate Scripture into our lives every day, receive the sacraments, and go to Mass to hear the Word of God, and to deepen the fervor of our prayer in our life, and to help the Holy Spirit be a part of the lives of the people around us, in our homes, in our workplaces, and in our neighborhoods. Know that the Holy Spirit wants each of us to lead by example. People, especially our children, who see their parents and their grandparents learning and living the faith, will inherit the love of being Catholic and building up the kingdom of God. The best good that each one of us can do is based upon three things. That is, be the example of God the Father, be the example of Jesus Christ, and be the example of the Holy Spirit. To close, I want to take notice of how the Holy Spirit, I think, is working in Pope Francis and his pontificate already. As we know, he was the first pope elected from outside Europe, especially in the Western Hemisphere. We know that Pope Francis also lives outside the papal palace. He's a pope who, for the first time in 1,000 years, had the Patriarch of Constantinople, who was the first among equals in the Orthodox Church, at his inauguration. He is a pope who washes the feet of women. He is a pope who walks in right-to-life marches. Pope Francis, to me, and maybe to you, is a tongue of fire hanging over our heads, especially, hopefully, over the heads of our bishops, the priests, the deacons, religious, and all of the laity. He is a pope who speaks the language of every nation by his example. He is not better than John Paul or Benedict. Each was or is a different manifestation, though, of that same Holy Spirit. And together, their example and with ours, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, We will ignite the new evangelization of the church to build up the kingdom of God and forgive sin. What are you waiting for? Let's take it to the streets. Happy Pentecost.